The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. There is power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. I am not backing down from any giant. I know how this story ends. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Let's start again. The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. Amen. 'Cause the God I serve knows how to triumph. My God will never fail. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. And we're gonna see a victory. We're gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. And we're gonna see a victory. We're gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. And we're gonna see a victory. We're gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. And we're gonna see a victory, we're gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. Amen. We are going to see a victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, that you are on the throne today. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will sing, how great is our God. Age to age he stands, time is in his hand, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great. How great is our God. Name above all names, he is worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. Great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
God, you are great, you are mighty. You are all-powerful. You are ruler over all nations. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior. show us love through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all.
When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone. Faultless I stand before the throne. Faultless I stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's arm. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all.
Amen, Jesus. You are Lord of all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, you know, God, this has been a rough week. But God, again, you are still on the throne. You are still Lord of all. You are our Savior. We praise you and honor you, Jesus.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear?
Nobody.
You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel army is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel army is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Whom shall against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your angel armies. Thank you that you are about us. Lord, thank you that your presence is in this place now. God, we just praise you, God. We pray your angels about this building, these people, their families, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, may we reflect Christ in all that we do and how we say and act, Lord God. Go before us, Jesus. Go before us.
There's nothing worth more than will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone in your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone in your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Lord, I pray that you would speak to us through your word this morning. Lord, that as we discover its text once again today, familiar words or not, as we discover it again today, let it penetrate deep into our hearts. God, let it do the work that it was designed to do. Let it change our lives, that we would be more like who you want us to be. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Prayer is such an elementary part of our Christian lives. It really is. It's an elementary part of who we are as believers. And unfortunately, it's an incredibly neglected part of our lives as well. If you've been with us over the past several weeks here at home, if you've been with us, if you've tuned in, you know that we've been talking about prayer. We have wondered what it must be like if we could see prayer in action and how something like that might affect our desire to pray more. We've admitted that life is indeed a battle, one that we must fight through. We have re-examined who the real enemy of that battle is. And we've talked about how this fight is a fight that we can only win when we fight from our knees. We also said we need to learn how to fight that fight without ceasing. Today we're going to start talking about different types of fighting that we can do. If you have tuned in with us for Monday School over the past several weeks, you know that we've been talking about fasting, which, by the way, is another biblical directive for us to follow. But during this past Monday's class, Jim talked about prayer and fasting and how they complement each other, how they go hand in hand with one another. Towards the end of our time this Monday, he went through some different types of prayer that we might consider while we're fasting. We are going to take a little bit deeper look at some of those types of prayer, not just to incorporate during fasting, which is absolutely appropriate, but prayers, battle hymns, if you will, that we can offer at any time when we are kneeling before the King of Kings. And let me just make a quick comment here so that we don't get confused about anything. We understand that for a variety of reasons, some of us cannot physically get down on our knees. Understand that's okay. That's okay. Understand that. The idea, that phrase, on our knees, is a reference to humility before God. If you can physically get on your knees, do it. I encourage you to. But if you cannot, that's okay too. You can stand, you can sit. The point is to have a humble heart, a humble state of mind as you enter into the throne room and pray and talk to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When it comes to prayer, there's all kinds of excuses, all kinds of excuses. But a couple of the most often given excuses are these. I don't know how to pray, and I don't know what to pray. Hopefully, as we spend a little bit of time reviewing prayer, we will see that praying, spending time with God, isn't really any different than having a conversation with your neighbor or your friend or your spouse, for that matter. See, God simply wants us to talk to Him. It's not some unachievable, unattainable, high platform we have to reach in order to pray. I said it earlier, prayer is an elementary part of our walk. It's having a conversation with our Savior. If we want to break it down into pieces, we can do that. There are lots of different types of prayer that we can offer up before the Lord. And we'll take a look at some of them and scriptural examples that go along with them. So this morning we start off with the prayer of confession and repentance. Now these are two very different things, mind you, confession and repentance, but again, they go hand in hand. We admit our guilt, and then we turn from our guilt. I think we've made it very clear here at Sanctuary, but we'll say it again this morning. We are all sinners. There is not a one of us in this room or watching from home or anywhere else around the globe that is perfect. We are sinners and we need forgiveness. And that goes to, that fact stands no matter how long you have called yourself a Christian. If we're tuned into this message right now, if we're listening to these words, we have either recognized our sinfulness and we've asked God to forgive us, or the Lord is trying to get our attention on this matter so that we might understand our shortcomings and our need of forgiveness. Either way, it points back to the fact that we are all sinners. Romans 3:23 gives us the baseline on this. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. 1 John 1:19 tells us what to do about it. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There's that great big key word again that starts off that verse. If we confess our sins. Get it deep into our hearts this morning. We are sinners and we need forgiveness. One of the most misunderstood ideas about Christianity is I ask God forgiveness, I accept Him in my life, that's all I need to do, right? I'm done. Even though we call ourselves born again believers in Jesus Christ, we still need forgiveness. We still need to confess and repent because we are by nature sinners. Forgiven sinners, yes, but sinners we are. We will never be perfect creatures this side of heaven. We still make mistakes. Dare I say, on a daily basis, we still make mistakes. The Apostle Paul expressed his ongoing struggle with the sinful nature and forgiveness when he wrote his letter to the Romans. Romans chapter 7, starting at verse 15. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is not I myself who do it, but sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, evil I do. I'm sorry, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Paul's words may have been very confusing to us there, but the basic message that he's given us is he still finds himself sinning. Paul was a pretty incredible man of God if we read through Scripture, but still a sinner, and he understood that. He was not trying to justify his actions here. He was not trying to justify the choices he made. Instead, he was communicating his continuous need for forgiveness. He knew right from wrong. He, Paul of all people, stood on both sides of that fence. He persecuted believers. He persecuted Christians. He thought they were crazy. And then he experienced forgiveness and repentance and God's grace and his mercy. But he knew that within himself, or in self-reliance, that he would and did fail. Constantly needing or leading to repentance again and again. Today, in our day and age, we cover over, we gloss over so many different things, so many different sins. We tend to forget that little white lies are still lies. They are not truth, no matter how little or how white they might be. We think that we are innocent when we present our gossip disguised as a prayer request. In today's society, we tend to justify our life choices and then find some biblical verse that we can manipulate to align with what we believe, instead of allowing Scripture to conform us and change us. You know, maybe we don't do any of the things that we used to do before. And maybe we're not involved in any big sins like murder or anything like that. But sin is sin, folks. And we have to understand that. And sin demands repentance. Or do we forget what is written in James 2:10? For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news this morning, but you are a lawbreaker. I am a lawbreaker. We are not perfect people. And because of that, we need to learn to engage in prayers of confession and repentance. Admitting when we are wrong, which is not easy for any of us to do. We can't even admit it to each other, let alone admitting it to our God and Creator. Maybe one of the best known biblical examples of this comes from a man that was handpicked by God to be king. Of course, we're talking about King David. He was referred to as a man after God's own heart. But what did David do? He broke commandment number 10 by coveting his neighbor. And that commandment number 10 became the domino that caused him to break other commandments like lying and deception and murder. David, a man who had an intimate relationship with God, he knew what it meant to serve God. He knew what it meant to walk with the Lord. He knew what that relationship was all about, yet he stumbled. As his sinful nature raised its ugly head and led him down a path of sin, he gave in. And he did exactly what Paul was talking about. He did what he did not want to do. He sinned. If we read through that account of David, we know that the prophet Nathan was the one that God used to confront David. Listen to what he said. 2 Samuel 12, starting at verse 7. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had not, if that had been too little, I would give you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? When confronted by Nathan, David confessed. He said, I've sinned against the Lord. Imagine being in David's shoes there for just a minute. The God-anointed king of Israel confessing how wrong he was. The man who has said he was after God's own heart, yet still a committed sinner. David knew he was wrong, even though he had such a powerful relationship with God. He made a mistake which caused him to sin. Did he just leave it at that and say, oops, my bad, I was wrong, sorry? No. David was broken. David was crushed by his mistake. His heart was wretched. And he cried out to God in prayer. Psalm 51, David's words. Lord, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desired truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost places. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin. Blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you, and the bulls offered on your altar. A prayer of confession because of a wretched and broken heart of a sinful man. David, a man after God's own heart, prayed one of the most powerful prayers of confession and repentance read or listed in Scripture. And if we were to break it down just a little bit this morning, we would see that first he prayed for a cleansing. He knew that he had sinned, and he knew that that sin had made him spiritually dirty. Have mercy on me. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He admitted not only his sin to God, but he recognized his sinful nature, knowing that only God could again make him whiter than snow. Once he admitted that he had done wrong, then he sought restoration. And this is the part of Scripture that we know so well. This is the part of the Scripture that maybe several of us have recited or prayed over time. But understand that first came the confession, an admission of the guilt. Then restoration is possible. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. David knew his heart was wicked, and that the only hope he had to be renewed and restored came by way of God's restoration in his life. He dropped on his knees and he prayed and he sought God's mercy and God's grace. You know, we might even find it interesting here that David talked about the Holy Spirit. Think about it. This is Old Testament, right? Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit talks about the Holy Spirit being poured out in Acts. Why is David talking about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? There were individuals in the Old Testament that were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. It's God. He's been in existence forever. He wasn't new just because Jesus came to the earth. It's Father, Son, and Spirit. He's always been. So it was not totally unusual to talk about someone being filled with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel 16:13. Samuel, talking about David's selection as king here, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. David understood what it meant to be consumed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the reasons that this prayer of David's, of confession and repentance, is so powerful today. He understood what it meant to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. He understood what it meant to have the Holy Spirit leading him, guiding him. He understood what it meant to grieve the Holy Spirit. He had a comprehension of all of that. He knew what was at stake. And he did not want to think about what would happen if the Holy Spirit was no longer leading him or directing him in his life. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. He was saying, help me to repent instead. Help me to turn from my wicked, sinful ways instead of giving in when the enemy comes against me. Forgive me, O Lord. Take this guilt away from me and restore my relationship with you. That was David's plea. But he didn't even stop there. He confessed, He looked for restoration. And he said, God, I don't want to be a sinner. I don't want to keep falling into those traps. Restore me and then use me to teach others, to share with others, to minister to others. I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners to turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. David knew he did wrong. He asked for forgiveness, and then he committed himself once again in service to God. Why do we find that same action so hard? Why do we find it so difficult? Not only do we have a problem admitting when we're wrong, but that denial of being wrong leads to unrepentance. It leads to a barrier between us and our Savior because we want to justify our actions. Without confession, without repentance, there's no way we can commit ourselves to service to the King. It takes confession and repentance to be the servants that we've been called to be. That prayer of confession is a prayer you and I need to make every single day. King David sets an incredible example for us. Cleanse me, restore me, God, use me. That's Psalm 51. Read it, reread it. David's words there are very nice, very elegant words. Probably far more elegant than anything you and I will put together or say in our time of prayer. But that doesn't matter. God doesn't care what words you use. He just wants you to use them. He wants you to talk to Him, to have that conversation with Him, to admit your failures to Him, to seek His forgiveness. Remember, God looks on the heart. He is seeking that repentant heart. Doesn't matter the words, it matters the condition of your heart. If we want to pray and we're at a loss for words, or we allow those excuses to run through our minds, I don't know how to pray, I don't know what to pray, then do this. Turn to Psalm 51 and read that psalm as if it was your own personal prayer. That's okay. Praying God's word back to God is something He desires, something He wants to hear from us. Go back to Scripture. Go to that psalm. Pray through it as if they were your own words. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your unfailing love, wash away all my iniquities. Cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. If we need a place to start, if we need an example, if we're at a loss of what to say, start there by reading that psalm back to the Lord and make it your prayer of confession. Father, I come before you this morning, and I acknowledge my sinful nature, my sinful condition. I thank you that you have grace and mercy on your children and your people. I thank you that you have drawn me in and that you have saved me. and that you have taught me what it means to walk with you. But God, I confess I am an imperfect creature. I make mistakes. I do foolish things on a daily basis. God, I continuously need your forgiveness for saying the wrong things, for offending people, for having the wrong attitude. God, forgive me. Cleanse me. Make me new in you today, Lord. Father, I pray that you would change our hearts, that it would be our desire to please the Holy Spirit living within us. God, renew us. Let us sing your praise. Let us be the tools, the instruments, the vessels you choose to use, O God, and be glorified in and through your people today, Lord Jesus. God, this week ahead, many things will come to our attention that we need to pray through. Many things will be shared with us that we need to lift before your throne. God, help us to be the willing servants that will come before your throne and lift these prayers, these needs, these people up to you. But God, let it start with our own failures and seeking that forgiveness so that we can be right with you as we lift other needs before you. God, we give you this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Spirit within.